episode of Home of Houseplants, the podcast. And today, yet again, a new direction in terms of our guests, and that's plural guests. I'm sitting down in the lovely home belonging to Branko and Hannah, who own and operate the Storytellers Workshop. Hannah and Branko, welcome.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Instead of me summarising what you do, could you please give our listeners an idea of what you do?
Yeah, sure. So you go, Branko.
So we collect stories to bring soul to your home. So what that means is that we go around and we find some of our vintage
vintage treasures.
Yeah, yeah, just really all our op shop sort of finds and garage sales, and just try and find some. Yeah, I don't know.
It's hard to put on the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Treasures is probably the best word to describe what you've got. In terms of your presence on Instagram, is the Storytellers Workshop.
Yes.
And you are well known to many people in Adelaide who frequent the market scene in the past. You've been regulars there, and occasionally, you know, today in current times you attend markets, but you just sell beautiful pieces.
Thank you.
That are one of a kind that you won't find probably anywhere else, and they are a real credit to you. I'm sitting here in your lovely dining room surrounded by many of the things I've seen on your Instagram posts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brass pots. By the plenty
we have a lot of brass pots.
A stunning I want to describe the Chinese lacquered fish tank that you're using as a terrarium.
Yeah, so that's one of our favorite recent finds. Branko picked that up off Facebook Marketplace, and I've always wanted a vintage fish tank. I just have a little bit of an obsession with them, and I love all things oriental, and yeah, this just spoke to me, and it was very dirty when we bought it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, the place we picked it up from, it had two cars broken down at the front of their house.
Okay, always a good sign.
Yeah. And the lid was stuffed inside, and there was mold everywhere. And yeah, look, it really doesn't look like what I picked it up.
Wow, it's scrubbed up beautifully, and inside there's a Snow Queen pothos, I can see from here. A Snow Queen pothos, you've got a Syngonium. Yep. And I can't quite make out the other one.
A little parlour palm.
Yeah.
Wow. And sitting, you know, directly beneath it is this stunning huge brass pot with a gorgeous ceramic tiger that's vintage, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Next to a cover. I'm coveting your green Chesterfield. It's a beautiful green that you can see that's emeraldy, but it's in mint condition, and it just sets off the plants beautifully.
With the gold sort of studding around it as well, and deep buttons.
And behind me we've got macrame hangers, we've got cane baskets filled with, I'm gonna say, a swordfish fern. I could be mistaken, I'm under pressure.
I think that's what it is. I got it again off Facebook Marketplace.
But Hannah and Branko, I'm talking to you. You're my first guests who I'm going to put you in the stylist kind of category if I can. I know that's you're sort of raising your eyebrows at me, but you have a beautiful business where you display the pieces you have for sale within their context.
Thank you. Yes, I guess you could say that.
And you have this lovely studio that's in the southern suburbs of Adelaide, which is a home that you've actually decorated with all your treasures.
Yeah. So we're very lucky to have a whole home to deck out with just stuff that we have for sale.
And you can also see your wares on your website, which is relatively recent, within the last 12 months, where you also can make available online treasures that you find in your travels.
Yeah, so that's my little baby, the website. Yeah. I put a lot of effort into it. We sell mainly everything on there now. So we're going into just selling online.
Makes it easier for us and also the customers as well. You know, it's a one-stop shop. There's no backwards and forwarding. It's all there. So it takes a lot of the backwards and forwarding out of messaging.
And you can shop anywhere in Australia.
Anywhere in Australia.
Any time of day or night.
Any time of day or night.
And
get your vintage fix.
Vintage fix. I was particularly drawn to you, not only the fact that you, you know, vintage fiends, as am I, but you would currently have in your posts, and I encourage everyone to check out the Storytellers Workshop on Instagram, primarily Instagram, guys.
Yeah. We have Facebook as well.
Okay.
And then Instagram's where we post mainly.
You were certainly in recent times really have a soft spot, Hannah, for vintage indoor plant books. Where that stood out to me.
Yes.
On top of that, your brass pots.
Yeah.
That stood out to me. Yeah. Vintage brass pots of various shapes and sizes, but also on your website, and hence the reason I approached you, is that you sell accessories for indoor plants. So you're not selling plants themselves yet. Who knows what the future holds?
Yeah, but who knows?
You have these beautiful bottles of indoor plant food. You have exquisite glass misters. Tell everyone a little bit about that.
So when we started this business, we always wanted to just sell things that give your home good vibes. Mm. And for us, plants, that gives us good vibes, that will bring good vibes to your home. So
And it brings life into the house as well, you know. They can be used in many different ways, for height, depth, and just contrast as well.
Yeah, so we thought it was only natural to start selling other products that go with that, and they have been our absolute bestsellers, so we just want to expand the range. But at the moment, we are sticking to the indoor plant food, and neem oil, and also the plant misters. So they're a good reminder to water your plants because they're so beautiful. You can leave them out.
Yeah, they come in a range of colours. They're stunning. Aqua blues, dark blues, pinks,
oranges. Apricot.
My goodness, when that delivery comes, Hannah, you must have a beautiful time unpacking them.
The whole lounge room floor covered.
Just full of colour, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, obviously, being people in who have a love and a business surrounded, well, primarily targeted at vintage products, but styling the vintage products, have you, in the people that you follow and your inspirations on Instagram or social media or in magazines, whoever you your peers are, you're obviously seeing a massive trend for plants?
Indoors? Oh, yeah.
Huge.
Oh, it's a huge movement, I guess you could call it. I don't think you would scroll through your Instagram feed without seeing plants in almost every picture that you see.
Yep.
Instagram and Pinterest. They're just everywhere. It's a huge thing.
I think it's like aesthetically pleasing to the eye when you see it as well. You know, it's nice to look at. So I think that's why it's also created such a big movement.
It seems to me that it's really evolved in the last few years. I'm talking Australia here. I must clarify that. I know we have some really excited to have listeners from the US and the UK. In Australia, it seems to me it's certainly come alive in the last 3 to 4 years. And I'm sure someone will differ with that, but it's, you know, I'm thinking back to the 90s, you couldn't see a plant to save yourself. No, if you did, it was plastic.
Yeah.
Or your typical higher company type plants in office environments. There was a shift for a long time in terms of styling and decor of homes. In the 90s and the 2000s, we didn't see any.
Yeah, that's when we grew up. So I don't remember having plants in the home growing up.
No.
It just wasn't a thing. So
yeah, I remember the only plant in our house was a plastic plant in the corner. Yeah.
It's probably still there.
Yeah, it's probably still there.
Scrape away the 10 inches of dust. You guys also are younger than me. I'm approaching the big 40 this year. You're younger than I am. Your contemporaries, your friends, your social groups, are they sort of into the plant scene as well? Is it a category of people, or is it just something that can pepper across different types and personalities and occupations? What are you noticing?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, I feel like also your friendship group sort of gravitates in the same sort of way as well. So I feel like a lot of our friends sort of are in that same sort of movement of reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah.
So, when we go down to our friend's house, we see a lot of not necessarily our vintage finds, but their own vintage finds. I think it's a lot more common for people just to go for a Sunday drive, get a coffee and just go look at a couple of op shops and stuff like that now. So, I definitely see that there's, I guess, less IKEA and more just
individual
style. Exactly.
And all of our friends love plants.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like if you love vintage, you love plants too.
There is a sort of connection there.
Yeah. There is a big connection there, yeah. And you see with all the sort of vintage books as well that we've been finding, it all has plants. There's always plants with it, you know. It's like it was a jungle back then.
I know, I think some of them have even been for sale on your website, Hannah, is that right?
Yeah, all of them are for sale.
You flip, I think in one Instagram post you had, you were sort of gently and slowly flipping through some of the pages of a retro vintage indoor plant book, and there was, you know, these conservatories attached to homes that were dripping, as you said, Branko, in indoor plants, and that went away for a while. But I think it is back. And do you think it is here to stay from a styling perspective? Do you think it'll be a trend that passes, is what I'm getting at?
I think it's here to stay.
Yeah,
for sure.
I can't see it going.
Like, yeah. I think people realize what indoor plants bring to their life and how it adds to the atmosphere of their home and promotes well-being in the home as well. So I can't see it going anywhere.
In your physical workshop space, which is the home that's kitted out with different sort of looks, and, you know, there's a bedroom set up, I know from memory, and also when you're styling for the website, is it a conscious effort to include plants where you can work them into the, I want to say set, set's the wrong word, but
I guess that's a good word for it. I can't really style without plants. They are so essential to what I do. Because I usually, when I style a room at the workshop, I do the space first without the plants.
Right.
And then it just, once I add the plants, it comes alive.
Do you, obviously, brass planters, I want to say the word planters, and what I mean by that is the cover pots.
Mm-hmm.
Brass planters, cane planters, cane baskets to put plants in, and macrame, that beautiful texture. They're the three primary sort of cover pots you might use in your sets and your designs. That's where you first go to. Would that be fair? Or?
Yeah. I feel like brass is my favourite at the moment. I also love ceramic and pottery, like handmade pottery pots. Okay. I find a lot of old vintage pottery, like canisters that might have a broken lid or something, that I just drill a hole in the bottom and turn into a pot. But any material that's vintage.
Yeah, and you'll incorporate it in. I'm just going to have a cheeky sip of wine, everybody. Excuse me. While I'm having that cheeky sip of wine, I'm looking at your exquisitely polished brass planters. And what is your secret? Because I try and I give up in anger. I can't get them that shiny. Is it involving some kind of industrial dipping or is it brass?
So I have been trying to come up with like a formula that works for me, but at the moment it's flour, lemon juice, and salt.
And elbow grease?
And no, you don't need elbow grease. You actually just put it on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's amazing. It will just instantly, you just wipe it off.
So you'll paste it, so that you'll paint it with that concoction.
Yeah,
make it into a paste.
And then you will leave it perhaps half an hour, 20 minutes, or not that long even.
No, not even.
Nah, oh my goodness. It's almost instant.
Well.
Yeah, a couple of minutes is even enough. And
Depends how tarnished the pot is.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I find that it works pretty much instantly.
Okay, that's an excellent tip that I'll be wrong, because I only use the Brasso tip and I sort of gave up in frustration because it just didn't.
The Brasso?
Yeah.
It smells as well.
It does. Yeah. And if, I think, you know, you can feel your skin burn off as you use it.
Yeah, you can notice it. But we've heard some really, really interesting sort of techniques as well. I've heard of just soaking it in vinegar overnight.
Yep.
And then tomato sauce is one of the most interesting ones I've heard. Okay. Yeah. But now look, we've tried a few and, we've had a few pink pots come out of it but you know, it's a trial and error sort of thing as well, just trying to find something that's a bit more natural than the Brasso.
Speaking of garage sales, how you sometimes, you know, will hunt down these amazing treasures, I picked up a few cane plants, quite flimsy cane cover pots for them, but you in some of your posts again, Hannah, had a little explanatory tutorial on how to clean cane.
Yes.
Can you run listeners through that again. So I've picked up a dusty cane, whether it be a cane basket that's too huge or a cane sort of planter that you can just use as a cover pot. Is there a way that you've tried and tested that people can use?
Yeah, well, basically I just choose a sunny day.
Yep.
So choose a sunny day and get a bucket, fill it with some warm water, add some vinegar and some salt to the vinegar as well. The salt just acts as like a cleanser and a scrubbing brush. And you just dip your scrubbing brush into the mixture and then scrub your cane.
Okay.
And just keep scrubbing. You can use a fair bit of force depending on how...
How rigid the basket or how flimsy the planter is. Yep, but just
go along with the weave as well.
Yeah, go along with the weave.
And then sort of get into those little nooks.
And then hose it off just like with a high pressure hose or just your regular garden hose as well.
Right.
And then, leave it to dry in the sun.
Yeah.
Or in the shade, wherever.
Yeah, just make sure that it's nice and dry before you sort of put it back into use, I guess. Yep. Yeah.
So when you're out treasure hunting, you're really open-minded. The worst thing you can do, from my own experience, is think I need 3 clean planters this weekend.
Yeah.
Never happens that way. And you kind of often, I've found, when budget's a bit tight, you find the most amazing things. That's my luck as well with garage sales.
Oh, yeah. I think you have to just be open to finding a bargain when it pops up.
And it's always cash, and so I often have to beg my 8-year-old daughter for some of the money from her piggy bank. just moving away from indoor plants a little bit, you've obviously found some amazing things out there. It's a real passion for you guys, and it's obviously led to your business. What do your family and friends make of this evolution, I would take it, as Hannah, where you might have just started having an Instagram account? I know you certainly then developed the studio, the workshop, I should say, the workshop.
Yeah.
And now your website. What do family and friends make of it?
They've got on board with it. Yeah. They absolutely love it. My mum is our best customer. she loves it.
Some things don't even make it to Instagram or the website. It just gets snapped up straight away.
Your mum had a fabulous caravan, is that right?
Yeah, she's got a caravan.
She did up a vintage caravan.
Yeah.
And that's her writing relaxation space. That's so fabulous. My gosh.
Yeah, that's been her dream for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. So she loves vintage.
Yep.
So she's totally on board with it. Yep. And our family is really supportive. Our friends love it too.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it was always a little bit of a left field sort of thing for me because I've always been in a trade.
You have a day job?
Yeah, I'm still a tradesman during the day, but it was sort of a little bit unusual. But then when they sort of see the sort of story behind it, it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, once they sort of came around to it, sort of saw it wasn't really that random of a thing to sort of start, yeah.
Yeah, you love it.
Oh, I do. I do. I think I find most of the treasure.
Yeah, you do.
My brain is the treasure hunter.
The chief treasure hunter.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous thing that you can do in this modern age is to have a website. And it is a bit of work though, Hannah, isn't it?
Just
to set up a website, and you're obviously having to constantly photograph and upload images.
Yes. That's pretty much my full-time job.
Do the measurements.
Weight.
And packing. We discussed that briefly before we started recording. Hannah's now moving, and being an online store in Branko, you're now moving more towards online sales and then packing and shipping. You also are a big fan of the recycled box.
Yes.
We
love our recycled boxes.
it's a great way to go, and Branko has a great supply source to bring them in, but it's such a wasteful thing to buy new boxes when you can just easily ask friends and family.
Yeah.
And with our sort of our items that we sell, it ranges from small, medium, big. It'll be hard to sort of cater for every type of item in boxes. So, we do get a bit creative with our packing as well. We cut boxes up, merge them together. We do what we need to do to make sure that it arrives safely on the other side.
Yeah, and even the bubble wrap we use is repurposed. Reuse everything. And we just encourage people when they do get the soft plastics to recycle it at the soft plastics.
Mm.
your bins.
And Your style is eclectic the right word?
I think that's the perfect room.
That's the perfect word.
And again, just take a look at the Instagram account. Colour. Is at the centre of your universe. Yep. And eclectic, you know, there's magnificent sort of, I can see a shrine, I can see, I'm going to say an Egyptian influenced wall hanging. Is that, well, no?
Egyptian revival.
Egyptian revival.
So from the 1920s, they would make these wall hangings.
Can I say an industrial type display case cabinet?
Yeah, it's actually a school locker, a primary school locker. So that's the numbers that you see at the front, which I guess everyone listening can't see. But no,
right. Yeah. We've got some of those. Now, the print, when I walked in, there's the 60s. Is it...
Tretyakov?
Yes.
Yes.
So that struck me as soon as I walk in. We've got then, as we've mentioned before, lovely green Chesterfield lounge. We've got the oriental fish tank now being repurposed as the terrarium. It's just, it all works, doesn't it? It's a mixture of objects that have eclectic at their core.
Yeah. It's weird because if you put them side by side next to each other with a blank canvas, they don't really go together.
Yep.
But I guess the way you sort of style it and tie it in together, how Hannah does, it all flows, you know.
It does. If
you had a look at our wall, it would just all flow into sort of one sort of collective space.
You're big lovers as well of Persian rugs, is that right? And just rugs generally.
Rugs.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it the texture? Is it the fact that it centres the room? I'm just rambling here. I'm not a stylist. Please step in and save me.
I've always had a thing for Persian rugs.
Have you?
I always have, but I think it's the pattern and the colour, the vivid colour.
Mm.
Just drawn to that. Yeah, I absolutely love them. I could have more.
You could have more. And you, is there a trick when you do find them? How can we help people who are listening? Do you air them on the clothesline for those that have on a sunny day? Do you do the whacking of the rug? I mean, how would you sort of bring them into your home?
Yeah, look, I guess you find them in all sort of different conditions as well. You know, we've found rugs that have been in immaculate condition for, you know, absolute bargains. And then we've bought some that need a lot of cleaning and work done to them. But, you know, for a dirty rug that needs a bit of air, like the best thing to do, I guess, is air them out, you know, get them outside. And yeah, it sounds very sort of old school, but put them on the clothesline and whack them. Whack them, like as hard as you can. Yeah. And just, you'll see the dust that comes out of it. And
it's, wear a mask as well.
Yeah. But it's quite satisfying when you see it all sort of go out. We've got a very good vacuum cleaner as well. That has sort of like rotating bristles at the bottom. And it really agitates all the sort of dust out of them.
Yeah.
From a sort of cleaning perspective, I heard a tip from my friend that went to Turkey that what they do over there is actually use shampoo. So wet it and use shampoo in the rugs, because whatever's good for your hair is good for the rug, they said.
Wow.
So we just do a bit of shampoo and sort of rub it in and then sort of just rinse it off and make sure that when it airs out, it fully airs out. You don't want to be putting it back when it's still a little bit damp.
Okay, that's really handy to know. Thank you. It's again, those kind of rugs do add soul to a room as well, aren't they? They're very, particularly the ones you pick up that from all these sources, they are one of a kind.
Yeah, they are.
And they're often exceptional quality.
Yeah.
There's some of the relatively cheap rugs you find now are quite plastic to feel. There's a plastic sense to the touch. But it's a real credit. I'm also looking now in front of that green Chesterfield is a coffee table that has... Now, what is that? I'm just looking. Is that elephants?
They're peacocks.
Peacocks are four posts that are made out of carved wood and they're peacock bases. That's... Yeah. Where on earth in Adelaide, South Australia? Is that from Adelaide, South Australia?
No.
Okay.
It lived in Adelaide for about 80 years.
Yeah.
But it came from Bali originally.
Yeah.
I mean, that just is indicative of what your small business is all about.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know the history to things, and there is a proper word for that which escapes me at the moment, but you know the story behind it. And no doubt people are looking for that, guys. You know,
I think it really sort of sells the item as well. Okay. Like when you know a story behind an item, it brings it to life. You know the history behind it, and it gives it a bit more meaning. So, yeah, when you sort of see that item and you know where it's come from, you know someone would have had to have hand done that, taken all the time, and then let alone paint it as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and it survived 80 years. It's gone three countries, and yeah, I love it. Whenever we find an item, the first thing I ask is, where did this come from? Yep. What's the story behind this?
Yeah.
And hence the name Storytellers as well. You know, when we were thinking about the business, Hannah came up with the name Storytellers, and we're like, all right, let's just brainstorm some other names. But there was just nothing else that really summed it up as much as that. You know, if we can find the story behind it, it just brings the item to life and really, yeah.
Branko, do you have any, as both of you individually in terms of your business, have people that you admire that influence your style? Have you just dug deep within to create your own style? I guess I'm asking is, you know, have you adapted your style from following other people, being influenced from other people? Or is this really just the style you developed yourselves as a couple?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, isn't it?
Yeah.
We always collected together and slowly have developed this style.
Yeah. I don't know if there's like a certain style. It's just, I guess we like what we like. Yep. And
you work together in terms of what you like.
Yeah, yeah.
You can click in that respect.
Yeah, I guess it's good that we sort of like the same sort of things as well. But I guess we both have a different eye, but still sort of all gets tied together.
So were you both individually eclectic and then that clicked when you both came together? Or was one of you more conservative in your styling approaches and then warmed up to the eclectic approach? Or yeah.
I think I've always been the eclectic one. And yep. Branko loved his...
I don't know.
What did you love?
Yeah. I was just a plain Jane.
Yep. You were plain boy.
I guess. And then Hannah opened up your eyes to all this color.
Yeah. I just had very basic neutral colours. Yep.
But you did have a red couch when I met you.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And a 2 meter long crocodile.
Yeah.
True.
So you thought there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope.
Yeah.
I've always liked the style, but I never knew how to put it together.
Yep.
And I guess... I didn't know really exactly what I liked. I just liked what I liked, I guess. And then, I guess after being with Hannah, it just sort of, I don't know, merged into this style that you see now.
Yeah, the eclectic style.
Yeah. I love it.
Do you think you guys, in terms of the website, given we've said you've got beautiful brass pots, you've got the liquid plant food and oils, do you think you're going to venture out further in terms of the accessories you offer on the website?
That is the goal.
That's the goal?
For sure.
Okay. Mm.
We want to offer a website that sells everything that brings soul to your home a one-stop shop for good vibes.
Yeah.
So that is the goal, to expand that range.
Mm. In terms of good vibes, you take that almost to the, is the word metaphysical? I don't know. I've had a few wines, but with your smudge sticks.
Yes.
So you also sell a variety of smudge. Can you explain to everyone what they are for people who might not know?
So the smudge sticks are... a bundle of herbs that you burn to cleanse the energy in your home or space, or we use it when we pick up a piece of furniture and we don't know where it's come from.
Okay.
We just use it to cleanse the energy because you don't really know where it's originated from.
Yep.
We have a variety on the website, so just different scents and different origins that they've come from.
Mm. Yeah, and I guess with a lot of items that we find, I don't know if everyone gets it, but I don't know, there's energy behind the items as well. And sometimes, I don't know, you just don't feel right with it or something like that, and you don't know the story behind it, or, you know, maybe where you picked it up from wasn't really the nicest place or something like that. Or, it sort of clears it out and just sort of keeps it to your sort of level, I guess, if that makes sense.
Nice.
So it does all go hand in hand. You know, we're really trying to sort of provide... one-stop shop for anything in your home and almost life, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
In your travels, have you picked up many secondhand plants you know, in terms of indoor plants, do you see them in your travels at garage sales? Do you see them? Tell us, you know, can you think of an example that stands out? They are often snapped up. People love buying plants secondhand, but yeah, have you had much luck in that respect for your own home?
We have had a lot of luck. Mainly all of our outdoor plants that we have, we have found secondhand.
Have you?
We've been very lucky. But some of them weren't in the best shape when we first bought them.
Right.
We've given them a lot of care and love, and they've come up amazing.
Yeah.
So never turn down a sad looking plant if it's a good price.
Yep.
Because you never know, you might be able to save it.
Mm.
Impatience can be rewarded.
Patience is, it's very rewarding.
And markets are great as well, you
markets
know.
Markets are fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. We usually always do a lap, buy our sort of secondhand items, and then come back and just do the plant run and then go. Yeah, but it's great. We love it. We love it. But yeah, you know, how Hannah said, don't always think you're going to buy a brand new immaculate plant and it's going to be perfect forever. You know, you're going to kill some plants, and I feel like you need to kill some plants.
Yeah,
you know, it all comes with the learning of sort of looking after the plants as well.
You can really do some great stuff on a budget if you can get up relatively early. You don't need to be the 6 a.m. person, but
no, you don't.
I'm thinking also here of school fates or, you know, local markets.
Yeah, and garage sales.
Garage sales.
They might not even advertise that they're selling plants, but sometimes they are. We found some incredible plants. And sometimes, even if you just ask at a garage sale, is that for sale? Yep. They might say yes.
Yeah.
So don't be put off.
And patience is rewarded. And it's worth it going. So if you want to dip your toe into the plant world on a budget, that's certainly a way to go. I've also picked up some amazing finds.
Would recommend.
Yeah. And even like just the side of the road, where you see a little like trestle table or something like that with a bunch of plants, $3 each, you know. Just, it takes you 1 minute out of your way to stop over and have a little look. But, you know, I think that's how it starts, you know. Just start gathering and, just also find plants that sort of suit your lifestyle as well, you know. Don't go for the high maintenance ones. So don't try and go for the super rare one straight away when you've never had a plant to really look after as well.
I think that's really timely advice, Branko, because people might see the top trending Instagram post, if that's such a thing. But, you know, there's plants in Australia at the moment, indoor plants, the rare ones are reaching record levels that shock many other people from around the world.
Mm.
And that's probably down to our strict quarantine border control to let supply in. But, you know, I do think you need to start slowly and have some patience. Start off with the, the Aspidistra, newfound love for the cast iron plant. I live in a dark old villa and that just keeps pumping along, looks spectacular. And we can just put it up in a, you know, if your budget's tight, in a cheap pot, or do a garage sale pot, like you said.
Yeah,
I have also found garage sales as a great source of super advanced plants. You know, you might get the giant sort of, what am I thinking here, Dracaenas or yuccas, where you know, probably cost $1,000 to buy the nursery, but you can get some really good established plants there as well, not just the tiny ones. So that's my contribution to the styling discussion. And you can always jazz it up in a cheap cane, you know, basket planter. So
Has there been any finds that you've stand out?
God, yeah, I went to this garage sale that about 2 years ago that I have come across glass houses that were given to me for free. I think I said to Branko and Hannah beforehand that my long-suffering husband drove 8 hours to a town in Australia called Ballarat, where he picked up a stunning vintage glass house for $50 Australian.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a good day. And he's become quite a pro at dismantling them. But I think we said polycarbonate glass houses, or glass houses, proper glass houses, are many thousands of dollars. So they would have to be my best buy. I still dream of one day going to a garage sale and seeing a giant variegated monstera, where the owner sort of says, take as many as you like. You know, that's the ultimate for me. But
never say never.
Just put it out there. And
put it out there in the universe. Around, think, all right. You know, or anything, you know, that I haven't got would be just amazing. I'd be, you know, on cloud nine for the rest of the day, I think. But and Facebook Marketplace. Is this the new gum tree? I don't know. You
think
quick.
So.
Yeah, I think it's a bit more the on-trend market, on-trend gum tree. Yeah, yeah.
But don't say no to Gumtree.
Yes,
no,
no, people overlook it, and you can really overlook it.
People do overlook it. Yes. So
I think some of our best finds are from Gumtree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. But no, I picked up plenty of fabulous pots, Brangwa. But super advanced plants have been my best buys and best finds from Gumtree and garage sales. And people are a bit scared to take them home, but I have a very long-suffering and strong partner who can, and use of a friend's trailer.
Need a trailer.
So, and I've got a car with the hitch on it, so that helps as well. So you knock out a lot of your competitors with that.
Yeah. It always helps driving around with a van. You know, you just never know when you're going to find those big items.
Oh. Adam Branko, can you just tell us again before we say goodnight and goodbye for today's episode? How can we find you? And your website details.
So you can find us on Instagram, Storytellers Workshop, and our website is www.storytellersworkshop.com.au.
And if they wanted to ask you anything particular, there'd be an email address or something that they can contact you through there?
Yeah, on the website there's all the contact details and everything like that, or don't be afraid to send us a DM in Instagram or Facebook.
Yep.
You know, we're open to every sort of platform there.
And, in particular for indoor plant lovers, just check out the plant food. They're in the most exquisite little bottles with a pipette on the top, and they've got this vintage labelling, which is divine.
The labelling is amazing, but they work.
They work.
Yeah,
it works as well.
And one big thing, I guess a big selling point, is that it's odourless as well.
Oh,
so
right, okay.
Yeah, when you use it, you don't get that sort of smell. Yeah, that smell that you'd get from like a normal sort of fertiliser.
Yeah, so that's a big benefit. So
yeah.
And Branko, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Jo.
Thank you. It's been great.
See you later, guys.
Thanks. See ya.